Well, I suppose, first of all, it's the time of year that originally came from Samhain, which was a Druid tradition, which I suppose when we look at the autumn time of the year, we've come to a time where the summer is over, the light is beginning to fade, and we're coming into a darker time of the year. We're also into a time of year which we're enjoying the fruits of the summer, that we see that, especially this year, that we have some beautiful apples and a whole array of fruit, and that have been part, and vegetables, of course. And I suppose we see, especially again this year, the transition that's taking place in nature. We see a beautiful array of colours as the leaves begin to change and fall. So it is within all of that context where nature itself is beginning to go to sleep, or our life is beginning to transition into the darkness of winter, that we kind of find that Halloween and All Souls and All Saints becomes part of this. So I suppose it is only natural then, in a way, that our minds as well, if we are looking at all of this, that that we come to recognize, I suppose, our own vulnerability within this as well, our own kind of cycle of life, our own transitions in life. And I suppose the ultimate transition is from life to death. So I think November really has become the time of year when we look at that probably more closely and enriched by that experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned a lot of things there, and one of the big points I've picked out from that is the colour and the nature, that it's being in tune with nature almost, that we're moving into that kind of hibernation cycle.
Absolutely. And I love this time of year, because I think transition is very much part of all our lives. And I think when I look at the trees at the moment, that it really reminds us of our own transition and my own transition at this time as well. And I see this time of year as really a reminder of the value of that in our lives. The trees, if they don't let go at this time of year and go into that hibernation, they won't survive the coldness of the winter. So in a way, they're preparing themselves for this long sleep, if you like, over the next few months. And of course, by doing this, we discover that they're ready to begin new life again in the spring. So there's a cycle of all of this, that it's not this transition isn't just from life to death alone, but it's preparing again for new life afterwards. So in us too, I think that we have the same kind of something within ourselves, that sometimes transition is very important in our own lives as well. And we have to leave behind different steps along life in order to embrace new life with us as well. And I think that this time of year really reminds us of this, and we see it in a blaze of glory around us just at this time.
It's almost a reflection of the Christian story of birth, death, resurrection. It's that sort of cycle of life and death and new life.
Yes. And of course, that's the whole cycle, really, of what Christian life is all about, that that life is given to us, that Jesus gave us the gift of new life and the promise of life and fullness. So that transition is very much part of the Christian cycle as well. And in Jesus' own life, we see how he lived that out. There was birth, there was living out of his life, there was coming to terms with death in his own life as well. And then I suppose the cure for death was Easter and resurrection. And so the sufferings and the transition, which had a major transition in Jesus' life, introduced new life for us all and everlasting life. So that's very much part of our cycle as well. And I think in the Irish culture, we have really embraced that very much, that in comparison to other cultures, that we haven't privatized the ritual of death, that that funerals are still a very powerful expression of life within communities, and that whole communities come together to support families through that very difficult time. Mm-hmm. And death, of course, always is a tragic situation and creates a lot of pain in people's lives. But we also find around them that people really gather around to support, and we don't need an invitation to a funeral. Everybody feels that they have a right to be there, and I think that the coffin is one of the big symbols for us here in Ireland, and has been for years, of showing that death is a reality for us. And that, and as people gather around the coffin and have the rituals within the church to this, really kind of helps to bring healing and support for people who have to face death in life.
Yeah. So, I mean, in a lot of ways, what you're saying is even this time of the year around Halloween, even with all the kind of trick-or-treating, the festivities, the dressing up, that it's bringing home a more serious point that's asking us to incorporate death essentially into life.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I wouldn't want in any way, I think the way in which children today celebrate Halloween and the way in which they dress up and all of this, I don't think we need to take away the joy of that for them, because I think they begin to see it really as another festival. And it's a very creative time for them, that in school they have great times to, there's great craft work going on in schools, where they're designing costumes and preparing pumpkins and all of those kind of things. And it's also probably a way of showing them as well of the darker side of life, that death is there. And people today, I suppose, that death is always a fear in people's lives, and it, obviously it's the ultimate fear in people's lives. But I think also that our Christian faith has brought hope into this as well, and through our faith. So I think it would be a pity if people just saw Halloween as just death in itself, but rather to also bring in the joy and the faith that is there, that that those who have died are not that ghoulish ideas that we see today, but really are fully alive in the kingdom of God, and have discovered the fullness of life. So they're our mothers and fathers, our friends, our brothers and sisters, those that we've loved here on the earth. And so they are now helping us in many ways. So they're not something to be feared, but really someone to be called upon and loved at this time. And I suppose for many people around the country, it's a time in which they visit graves, they like to maybe light a candle, they might just like to just spend a little bit of time in a sacred space to remember all those who have gone before them. And that's wonderfully consoling, because I think that we like to be remembered. And that's one of the great things that our Christian faith holds for us, that those who have gone before us are held by our prayers, but that we also can help them on their final journey, as they can help us then when they have reached that fullness of life. Mm-hmm. And so the church kind of helps us to see that there are millions and millions and billions of saints that are still there, that are never recognized maybe by name, but we know them from our life's experience, and we can call upon them to help us as well.
Yeah. Of course, a lot of people will know people and think, well, they were saints. They were saints in their life. There's a lot of, as you say, uncanonized saints.
Yes, very much so. And I think it is, but it is always lovely to remember them in prayer. And of course, we have thousands of them in our lives that have influenced us in so many ways. And people, I think, have a sense when they're with somebody who is special and who really is living life to the full and have found faith as a very big part of their lives, that we have all those people who have influenced us in so many, many ways. And we're so grateful to those, because we are where we are now because of those that have gone before us and have made that transition to new life. So I think it also enriches our own faith and gives us hope that where they're gone, we are going to follow. So even those who have lost somebody and somebody has died in their family and they've grieved them, very often we find that when they remember back, it's always the good we remember. And we love to keep photographs of them or keep something tangible that they had, something significant. And all of those keeps us in touch with the person and feel that helps us to keep that touch more than anything else. And I think that they influence us in so many ways, and we are very grateful to have those people in our lives and that we have known.